The following program, Stories of Mountain Folk, is brought to you by Catch the Spirit of Appalachia with Amy Ammons Garza and Doriel Ammons Kane. And now, here's Amy.
All grandmothers like it when their grandchildren come to visit. I have 7 of the best grandchildren you'd ever want to meet. Now, I bet every one of you grandparents out there think the same of yours. A few weeks ago, I had 2 of my grandsons come and spend time with me. In planning to entertain the boys, I thought I'd like to educate them and share with them my love of the mountains. Nowadays, so many of our children never get to experience what we simply took for granted growing up here and in the forests and streams of Western North Carolina. How better to do this than to take them to the Joyce Kilmore Memorial Forest in Graham County? In preparation for the trip with Alex and Stephen, I printed out the poem Trees by Joyce Kilmore and let them read it aloud, and then we talked about what the poem meant. I told them that within the forest we would find this poem. Already they were curious and excited. We packed a lunch and off we went. So how did we manage to save 13,055 acres of the original Appalachian Forest? In 1936, the Forest Service bought the tract for the lofty sum of $28 per acre, at a time when most land was going for $3 and $4 an acre. While the surrounding land was logged, the area around Little Santiga Creek in Graham County was spared. Protected by a recognition of its uniqueness and drastic drop of lumber prices after the crash of 1929. Veterans of the foreign wars asked the government to set aside a fitting stand of trees to serve as a living memorial to Joyce Kilmore, who was killed in action during World War I. Although Kilmore was both a soldier and a poet, he was most remembered for his poetry about common, beautiful things in nature. Kilmore's best-known poem was Trees, and so the Joyce Kilmore Memorial Forest came into being. In 1975, Congress designed the Joyce Kilmore Slid Rock Wilderness, which included the Memorial Forest. The 1984 Wilderness Act expanded the wilderness to a total of 17,394 acres. Like other wildernesses, Joyce Kilmore Slid Rock is managed to protect naturalness and solitude. The only way to see the impressive Memorial Forest is on foot. The Figure 8 Joyce Kilmore National Recreation Trail covers 2 miles and has 2 loops. The lower loop passes the Joyce Kilmore Memorial Plaque, and the upper loop swings through Poplar Grove. Following the signs from the information shelter, you will soon cross Little Santiga Creek footbridge and begin an ascent into the old-growth forest, where some of the towering trees are as old as 400 years. There are benches along the route where you can stop to admire this untouched forest. At the midway point in your hike, you will come to the Joyce Kilmore Memorial, where a simple biography of Joyce Kilmore is engraved on a bronze plaque. On the upper portion of the trail, there's a stand of enormous yellow poplars that are over 100 feet tall and measure 15 to 20 feet in circumference. The floor is carpeted with a garden of wildflowers, ferns, and moss-covered logs from fallen giants. The Memorial Forest is beautiful in all seasons. Many wildflowers show off their blooms in the spring before the leaves open and shade the forest floor. Summer is wet, green, and lush, a time when the forest is noticeably cooler than the parking lot. Fall signals the gradual color changes from green to red, yellow, and maroon. And then the leaves fall, revealing the bones of the mountains. Take my advice. Let your children read Trees and then take them to the Joyce Kilmer Memorial Forest. My grandsons loved it. I think I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast, a tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray, a tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems were made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree.
Nature's Home Preserve, and across from me is
Katie Gaddis.
And you're involved in a really interesting program, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I'm a student at NC State, and I'm currently taking a course called Sustainable Tourism. And as a part of that course, my professor has developed the People First Tourism website, and we get to go out and meet with entrepreneurs or people that are interested in the program. And essentially what it is to bring people out of poverty using tourism. Uh-huh. So creating a marketplace for them, you know, so that they can upload their information online and people can just share just about anything, you know, oral traditions and music and dance and, you know, anything about their area that they want to share with someone.
That's just a really great idea.
Yeah, it's fun. And we got to, I'm just fresh from the field. So we went out to Hot Springs and Marshalls and Mars Hill and just met with a bunch of different people that are involved in all levels of tourism. So we got to go to some visitor centers and we got to go to, you know, people's homes that were interested in becoming like entrepreneurs for tourism. We got to meet with people that were involved in, tourism and development. So they were thinking about creating a hot springs video of the area. Mm-hmm. So it was just very interesting to kind of see, you know, a wide spectrum of people involved in tourism.
It really is. And well, what are some of the types of businesses?
We talked with a man who was interested in starting, you know, to be a part of People's First Tourism. And his name was Dwight Arrington, and he lived in Arrington Holler, is what he said. Uh-huh. And he didn't really understand, like, you know, what he wanted to do. But when we were talking to him and interviewing him, it turns out that, you know, he knows a lot about, you know, the history, and he knows about, you know, mountain medicine. And I was like, well, I want to learn about mountain medicine. He's like, oh, you just come out and, you know, in the summertime, and I'll take you up into the mountains and we'll, you know, search for some things. And mm-hmm. And then we you know, went and visited with some other folks, you know, that were in the area. One had an artist commune, and she provides a space for people to come and do artwork in her house. She's been building it for over 40 years.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Yeah, and it's full of stained glass and inlay wood, and, you know, just it is really part of her, you know. Uh-huh. And so she's not necessarily a part of the network, but she supports in a different way, you know, to let people stay, you know, in her space, which has become a nonprofit.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's terrific. So someone that wanted to take, I guess, quote, a class.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't necessarily a class, then, is it? They could come and stay and just learn about
the area.
About the area. Mm-hmm. And someone who's really knowledgeable about what they're curious about,
mm-hmm.
would show them.
Yes.
Bottom
mm-hmm.
line.
Yeah.
Now, do the entrepreneurs charge, though, right, for the...
They do. I mean, you set your own price, you know, for what you think you have to offer. And, you know, I've seen a wide variety of, you know, prices and offerings. And I just, I love it because I'm a tourist. I have no problem. You know, I think a lot of people have even a problem with that word. They don't want to do anything too touristy. Uh-huh. And I'll admit it, I'm a tourist. I love to tour and I love to meet people and love to see what's going on in the area. Uh-huh. That I'm at. And so I was really, when I heard about People First Tourism's website, I went on and I was like, well, now I have, you know, something else to use for North Carolina when I'm traveling around, you know, to mm-hmm. meet with people and to connect with the locals.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a venue for actually connecting with locals when you come into the area.
Yeah, and that's so, to me, that's the most important thing. I was using another website as well called Roadside America. And so what Roadside America was is, you know, kind of along the same idea, but they have all the quirky little things, you know, like they'll tell you where an original Shell station sign is, or you know, a big muffler man, or there might be an artist that has a house made out of, you know, tin cans, or you know, something like that. So I was familiar with that, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes you would get lucky and meet somebody that knew something about it, you know, but mm-hmm. most of the time you were just going off to take a picture or two. And, you know, so I really, when Duarte, my professor, came out to our orientation for class, you know, I really fell in love. You know, I had an instant connection. I was like, you know, I understand what you're trying to do and I love it. I love the idea of it because it's like, you know, the people are the attraction.
Yes.
Not necessarily what they, you know, are talking about. It's what they know and, you know, and what they have to share.
So it is people first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm having a good time. So I'm having a great time out here meeting everybody.
I know a few people that are a part of this. Betty Brown down the road from me. Mm-hmm. And she's an interesting character, isn't she?
Yeah.
I
just met with her and we had a nice talk and I interviewed her. We went up to the courthouse. So I was prepared to actually walk up your drive today because I had gotten... some steps in at the courthouse in Silva.
Oh, so good exercise.
It is good exercise. And so we went all the way to the top and I interviewed her there. And yeah, I just, you know, all her 11 brothers and sisters and singing and, you know, she just has so much to share, you know, yes. with everyone.
And she's quite a songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got some of her CDs, so I'm looking forward to, you know, listening to them in the car on the way home.
Yeah, that's great. Well, see, this is truly just a wonderful program. I know I'm a part of it, and mm-hmm. My art classes are going to be things that people come to during the summer, anyhow, hopefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sign up to come in and visit here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also another part that Catch a Spirit is involved in, my sister and I, is storytelling.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing you guys at the Spirit of Appalachia fundraiser.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to seeing you, and Betty's going to be there as well.
Yeah, she'll be doing her songs.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're involved in a very wonderful thing.
I feel blessed. I really do. I mean, I think that I'm on the right track. And, you know, I was studying pretty much international development, you know, with my first degree as far as, you know, green technology and everything. So, I mean, if you put sustainability on it, I'm probably going to be studying up on it. So yeah. I just feel really blessed to have found his class and to, you know, get connected with some people.
That's terrific. If someone wants to get a hold of People First Tourism, how would they go about that?
You can go on the website at peoplefirsttourism.com and go under the Contact Us, and you should be able to find the contact information for my professor, Duarte Marias, and that's Marais, okay. And he's at NC State University.
Katie, thanks so much for being on Creative Corner, and you are one creative person.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I appreciate it. You too.
We'll be right back with more stories of mountain folk after this short break. Mountain View Manor, located in the peaceful mountains of western North Carolina, is a progressive rehab center and the best respite care in the mountains.
Hello, this is Dennis Ramsey from Mountain View Manor Nursing Center and Rehab Center in Bryson City. We're known as the facility that's your home away from home. One of our quality things is we have longevity in our staff. Several of them have been here for 33 years since it's opened, and we're proud of that. We have a very progressive rehab program, and the success rate of people going back home is very high. We have a very good respite program, which gets people to come temporary for a while and then learn how to assimilate themselves in the facility, learn about the staff, so when it comes time for long-term placement, they can come here. We also have a hospice contract with Four Seasons Hospice. You can call me at any time at 828-488-2101. And the name again is Dennis Ramsey, Administrator of Mountain View Manor.
Mountain View Manor, Buckner Branch Road in Bryson City, North Carolina. Here's Amy and another interesting interview with the people of Western North Carolina.
Today on Stories of Mountain Folk, we have with us Phyllis Fox, who is from the Savannah community, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her life here in Jackson County.
I was born on Cowie Mountain, and my grandparents on my mother's side, Tom Columbus and Minnie Jones, and we still live there. My dad built the house in which I live in 1948, the year I started school, and that's where I still live with my sister, June. We spent a lot of time with Granny and Pa Jones because my dad went into the Army, and he was a farmer, and we enjoyed our life out there. At the time, there was I was the oldest child, and my mom had a son, Bill, while Dad was gone in the military. And I can still remember the day my dad came home from World War II, and my uncle came running to the cornfield. I was riding in a sled with my grandpa gathering corn, and he came running and said my daddy had come and they wanted me to come to the house. And I wouldn't go to the house. I stayed with Pa in the sled. I loved to ride in the sled and gather corn. And we gathered the load of corn and took it to the crib and unloaded it. And then I went home to see my dad. And Dad farmed, and he logged for a living. Did anything he could to feed his family. Times was hard. This was back in the 40s. And I went to school at the Savannah Elementary School, and I'm very proud that that building is still there. Have very fond memories of that. And then I went to Webster High School, and I tell everybody those were the best days of my life. I remember nothing bad about my high school years. I loved my teachers, and there's still a couple of my teachers living. And Kate Welch, Kate Dietz Welch, still comes to our class reunions when we have them. And we Bud Cantrell, B.B. Cantrell, was our teacher. And he comes, and we just have the best time. And school was different then. It was more like a family at Webster. Today there are so many students that it's difficult to build relationships with a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
And these kids out at Webster were just, everybody was like family.
How many students were there?
We had the largest graduating class, and that we had 40 who graduated. Mm-hmm. I think there were actually 42 in the class and 41 graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And in the entire school, there was less than 200, I think.
Oh.
It wasn't a big school at all. We had really great teachers. Teachers cared about the kids.
What year did you graduate?
I was in the last graduating class at Webster High School in June of 1960.
Uh-huh.
And in October of 1960, I went to work at Silva Insurance Agency for John Morris.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I'm still sitting today, 53 years later. And Mr. Morris is one of the finest men I ever knew. And honest, straightforward. He was what you saw was what he was. And he was a justice of the peace and magistrate. And that was new stuff to me because I'd only been to court one time when they tried Demas Woods for killing Griffin Middleton, the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I remember they had court on Sunday, and there was a man that lived in our community who drove a taxi, and he brought all of us to the courthouse on Sunday afternoon.
You had an outing.
Yeah, and that was my first experience with court until I went to work for Mr. Morris. And I typed warrants. I typed the warrants for the police department. It was different back then than it is now. And they would come over and they'd tell me what happened, and I'd fill out the paperwork for them, and I got to know all the police officers. And we'd have traffic court on the Saturday afternoon, and the highway patrolman would come in, and the people they had charged with various and sundry things would come. So I met a diverse group of people working for me.